the Gospels, we hear about a couple of men who came to the disciples and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." As we come to this study on Through the Bible in the book of Hebrews, we're saying the same thing. We want to see Jesus. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and I know that this was Dr. J. Vernon McGee's heart, that everyone who comes to this study would see through the pages and see Jesus. This verse was so important to Dr. McGee that he had it engraved on the back of the pulpit from which he preached. He saw it every time he preached. And you know, this is still our prayer Through the Bible for ourselves and for you. We want to see Jesus. We begin today in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, and as you find it in your Bible, let's visit with a few of our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. Now here's a quick word. This is from Richard in Kansas. "I am 76 and I listen twice per day on the internet. I greatly appreciate the teaching. I have a God-given love for people around the world and am so glad for the producers in so many languages. I hope more languages are added soon. I know people in far-off lands, and even those right here in the United States are overjoyed to listen in their native language. You are God's blessing to all of us." Well, thanks for writing, Richard. It's a pleasure to have you on the Bible bus. Next, we've got a Facebook post that we received from a listener with a great name. It's Steve. Well, one study that has stuck out for me has been Jeremiah. If God kept and strengthened Jeremiah, surely he has a plan for each of us. It may not be to speak to a nation, but he will make good on his word. Jeremiah is one Old Testament individual with whom I can identify. The connection between Jeremiah and the Lord impresses many profound truths on my heart. Dr. McGee's study through this book makes it even more real. Well, thanks, Steve. It's great to hear what God's doing in your life and other listeners as we study his word together. What are you learning as we make our way through the Bible? Like Steve, has a particular study stood out? Well, we'd love to hear your story. You can email your note to BibleBus@ttb.org or send it by mail to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now, our last note is from a listener in Idaho. She writes, "I've begun making monthly contributions because your ministry means a lot to me, and I feel that such true instruction from God's Word needs to stay on the airwaves. To the glory and praise of our Lord and Savior, God has provided for all my needs and my two boys, ages 6 and 8. We are never without. God has shown me He is our provider, protector, and lover of our souls. God bless you all, and my prayers are with you." Isn't that a great letter? Thank you for your faithful and cheerful support of the ministry. Now let's pray. Father, thank you for these reminders that you are our provider and sustainer, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. We trust you to provide whatever our need is today. Thank you for bringing your truth to more people through these studies. We love you, and we're listening now for your Spirit's prompt. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we've come, friends, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, to chapter 1, verse 2. We're not getting along very fast, and it's not our intention to do that, because we believe that this is an epistle that in a very peculiar way reveals Jesus Christ. And we want to see Him as the Spirit of God will open to each one of us a measure of insight into the glory of His person, because that's important. Andrew Murray put it like this: the knowledge of Christ Jesus that we need for conversion does not suffice for growth, for progress, for sanctification, for maturity. And then he added this: our one need is to know Jesus better. And this epistle will help us to do just that. Now, we saw last time here in this first verse that what we have here is Christ is superior to the prophets, because all of them, the best that could be said was they gave merely a partial revelation. God never let any one of the Old Testament writers give a complete revelation. You have to put it all together to even get the Old Testament. But now God has spoken finally, completely, and adequately, and assuredly in the Son. And verse 2 begins, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." And as we said last time, the literal is, to us, God spoke in the Son. Now, we see here, he's saying, he hath in these last days spoken unto us. And the us, I think, is very important. He's spoken to the same ones that he spoke to the fathers by the prophets in the Old Testament. Therefore, these were Hebrew believers. Now, if God has given his final word in the Lord Jesus Christ, then this is the final word for you and me today. And you remember the Father out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And he is the one that is before us. Now he says he hath spoken unto us by the Son. Therefore Christ is superior to any of the Old Testament writers because the revelation is filled up in him. He fulfills all of the Old Testament, and he himself gives God's final word to man. Or as we said last time, if God spoke out of heaven today, he'd just have to say something that Jesus has already said because of the fact the final word came through the Son of God when he was here 1,900 years ago. As he himself said, the Spirit of God will take the things of mine and show them unto you. And the Spirit of God, speaking through John and James and Dr. Luke and Paul, has given us the full revelation from God. And now he shows the superiority of the Son in seven matchless statements that we have here. And these statements, I'm sure that none of us feel like that we comprehend any one of them completely. Now, I want us to notice it. I'm reading verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, two of the statements are here. Number one is, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now, that reveals the program for the future. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. But very frankly, there's something here that we need to look at rather carefully. All things were made by him, John says, and without him was not anything made that was made. So it belongs to him already. Creation is his, for he created it, we're told. And so how can he be the heir of all things? May I say to you, he came down to this earth and took upon himself our humanity. And the first man in the human race was given dominion over this creation. And we don't emphasize that enough because in Genesis, tremendous statements are made with just a few words. We had one of the Christians in Israel when we were over there some time ago speak to us, and when he came to the end of his message, he wanted to give an illustration. He says, I want to say this to you in little words. And what he meant was few words. He intended to make it brief. Well, that's the way Moses wrote the first 11 chapters of Genesis, with little words. And when I say little words, he's stating it briefly. And when God says he gave to man dominion, he didn't make him sort of a first-class gardener to set out rose bushes and prune the plum trees. That's not what Adam did. Adam had dominion, and dominion has to do with rulership. All creation was under him. I think that when he wanted to reign, he called in the rain. I think that when he wanted the heat turned on, why, he turned it on. I think he controlled this earth. Now, he lost that. And when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he became a man. And you'll notice that one of the reasons he performed certain miracles, he performed them in every realm, the natural realm, the physical realm. He had control of the human body, had control of nature. He could still the storm, and he could feed the 5,000. He recovered that. Now the Lord Jesus is going to be heir of all things. He recovered what Adam lost. And we're told in Scripture that we are heirs of God also, and we're joint heirs with Christ. Now that's an interesting word, joint heirs. And that doesn't mean equal heirs. Let me illustrate that. Some folk have been very much interested in our radio and have given it wonderful support, and they'll mention us in the will. And sometimes they put us in as a joint heir and sometimes equal. Sometimes they say, well, I want so much to go to this mission cause and so much to the through the Bible. Well, that's equal, that is, each one of us. And we could squander it, I guess, if we wanted to, but you can be sure of one thing, we don't do that here. But the thing is, it would be ours. But sometimes you're a joint heir, and that means somebody else has control of all of it, and they just allocate out so much to each one at the proper time, and they manage the estate. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the heir, and we're just joint heirs, and that means that he still controls it, but he may let me have a little patch somewhere. He may give me charge of some little something, but that's the way that we're joint heirs today with Christ. So that we have an inheritance, friends, that's incorruptible, it's undefiled and unfading, and it's reserved in heaven for us. Why? Because of the many wonderful things he did for us, he recovered what Adam lost and even more than that. And we today are joint heir with him, so that he's the one that's going to inherit everything. And as far as I know, no prophet was ever promised that in the Old Testament. Now we're told a second thing here, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, a great many people interpret this as to creation, that this refers to Genesis 1:1. Well, actually, it does not refer to that at all. The word here for worlds is aeon. It means ages, by whom he created the ages. Now, frankly, that's a little bit more than just creator. That lends purpose in everything. As the heir, that gives the program for the future. And now, in the fact that he made the ages, that's purpose in everything. Now, he not only created everything, he did it for a purpose. And so the Bible makes sense, friend. God created man, put him in a garden, and put down one condition. He was not to eat of a certain tree. Well, there was nothing wrong with that tree. I think the fruit on it was good. But that was God's test of that man. And after all, it was not the fruit on the tree. It was the pear on the ground. That's where the problem was. And so man absolutely and completely failed at that time. God has a program, you see, and he has a purpose in everything. And so there comes on another period in which God tests man, and then he gave man the law, and today you and I live under grace. That's the way we got in. We'd never be able to get in the law. It wasn't given to us to begin with. And the second thing is, you and I can't keep it. We can't measure up to a righteous standard that God has set. And God just can't save us by works at all. And I think that ought to be quite obvious to every person that God just can't save us by works. And the reason for that, I think, is very satisfactory. He can't save us by perfect works because you and I can't offer that. We can't measure up to it. And he can't save us by imperfect works because his standard is higher than that. And therefore, God had to have another way. And today it's by grace you're saved. Now, the Lord Jesus not only is the creator, but there is purpose to this universe. This universe that you and I living in today, it's not running at breakneck speed through space and time. Where in the world could an idiotic notion like that originate? That you and I are living in a universe that's running wild today, and that it's like a car that's lost the driver. The interesting thing is, when a car loses the driver, there's a wreck. And this universe Epcot and even to the scientists. It's been running millions of years, and it's been doing pretty well, by the way. The sun comes up at a certain time every morning. It's certainly very precise. The moon out there, they can send one of the men that works on the module here, that every one of them that's been to the moon, he says all you got to do is aim it, and the moon will be there when the module gets there, because you can always depend on it. It's not running wild. Suppose the moon, when it would see this module coming, say, I'm going to fool those boys, and he heads back another direction. My friend, this is not a mad universe that you and I live in. It has purpose in it. And the Lord Jesus is the one that gives it purpose. Now, will you notice, as we move on down, we have another statement made here. 3, and that is in verse 3, too. Who being the brightness of his glory. Now, that is a very wonderful statement there. The brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now, brightness here means the outshining. It means actually the effulgence here. And I think that the material sun out yonder in space gives us a good illustration of this. We could never know the glory of this material sun to begin with. You can't look at it directly. It would blind you if you did. But from the rays of the sun, we get light, we get heat, and actually, I think, healing from it. And that's the way we know about the sun. Now, we'd never know anything about God apart from the revelation that God's given in his Son. You see, he is the brightness. We never see God. I've never seen him. I'm sure you haven't. But I know about him now through Jesus Christ. Just as the rays of the sun with their warmth and light tell me about the physical sun, the Lord Jesus reveals God to us today. Now, when he uses this other expression here, the express image of his person. Now, that word, express image, actually means steel engraving. The word is charakter, and we get our word character from that. So that we say today that the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation of God because he is God. And that is the important thing. He's not just the printed material. He is the steel engraving of God because he is the exact copy. He is the image of God. Paul says in Colossians 2:9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How wonderful he is. And then we're told a fourth thing here. Will you notice what is said here concerning him? And upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, I like to put it like this. That little baby lying helpless on the bosom of Mary, yonder in Bethlehem, could have spoken this universe out of existence. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, he not only created all things by his word, but he holds everything together today. And have you ever stopped to think about the power that's required to hold it together? Man has learned very little about it, but he has learned a little. Man took the atom, for instance, a little bitty fella, and he untied it. And when he untied that little atom and split the atom, as they say, may I say to you, he sure did release a lot of power. Well, who put all that power in there? And who holds all the little atoms together? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he furnishes the program, the purpose. He is the person of God, and he's the preserver of all things. He not only created the universe by his word, but he holds everything together. And if he let go today, well, to begin with, you and I are held on this world that we live in. We don't live in it, we live on the thing. And if he didn't hold us here by Elmer's glue, they call it gravitation, but we'd go flying out in space. He holds everything together. And this universe would come unglued without his constant supervision and power. Now, he's not just an atlas holding up the earth passively, and he's not like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. He today is actively engaged in maintaining all of creation. And in my book, friends, that's greater than creating it at the very beginning, is holding it together, keeping the thing functioning, keeping it running. And that is one of the tremendous things that he is doing today. Now, will you notice there's a fifth thing here, and that is a wonderful thing. When he had by himself purged our sins. Now, that's pardon for our sins. And he purged our sins. And by the way, this is the only purgatory that's mentioned in the Bible. He went through it for you and me. And there's no purgatory for anyone that trusts Christ, because he purged our sins. He has paid the penalty. How wonderful it is. Now, up to this point, we only got to Bethlehem. Now we've come to Calvary. And he today offers pardon for our sins. And the purging was accomplished by what he did on Calvary for you and me. And today we're accepted in the Beloved. And you can't add to anything that he's done for us. And then we'll see he's made provision for the present. We'll save that till next time, because after all, that's what this epistle's all about. He's alive today up yonder at God's right hand, and at this very moment, he knows it's time for me to get off the air, and I'm going to get off the air. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
It's so comforting to know, as Dr. McGee said, that Jesus is alive today, up yonder at God's right hand. Well, if you're like me, you think about that reality every day. Jesus is there, interceding for you, watching out for you, providing for you. That brings a huge amount of comfort and courage. That's what good Bible teaching should do, remind you of the strength and peace that come from walking with Jesus. It's also great to share it with others. So thanks for joining us today. Now, if you're ready to deepen and expand your personal study of God's Word, we're here to provide some support. In fact, let me mention a couple of free resources that I think you might find helpful. The first is our monthly ministry newsletter. It's a perfect supplement to our daily study. In each issue, you'll find more teaching from Dr. McGee, helpful application exercises to get you thinking about and integrating what we're learning into your daily life, encouraging stories of how God is answering our prayers, and so much more. If you want to sign up, either for the digital or print mailing list, just go to ttb.org. You'll find the sign-up tool right there on the homepage. Or, of course, if we can help you, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And while you're at ttb.org, I highly recommend that you head to the resources section and click on the link to the free booklets. There you'll find a library of Dr. McGee's free booklet download on a variety of subjects, including this month's featured booklet titled Stand Up. Based in the book of Daniel, Dr. McGee outlines what it takes to stand up for what's right and have courage in the face of evil, just like the prophet did so many years ago. Again, Stand Up is just one of more than 100 of Dr. McGee's booklets that you'll find completely free to download. Browse through the long list on ttb.org. I'm sure that you'll find something to complement your personal study and interests. Again, to find out more about these resources and the many others that we make available to help you deepen your study of God's Word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. Now, tomorrow, we'll complete Dr. McGee's study of the seven remarkable statements about Jesus found in Hebrews. Our goal is to remind you of the trustworthiness of the one to whom you've given your life. As someone on the Bible Bus recently wrote, "Praise God for your program that has helped my understanding of the Word and knowing Jesus. What I have learned is that we study the Bible to know Jesus and activate the presence of Jesus in our lives. What is the reason to study the Bible? But to know the author who is the incarnate Word, Jesus, the greatest teacher and the Savior of our souls." Philippians 1:6 tells us that the work God started in you and in me and in through the Bible and in the millions who are touched every day by the teaching of God's Word, that work will be completed right on time. So thank you for answering God's invitation to be a part of what He's doing around the world with us here. You know, the letters and email, as well as the texts and phone messages and Facebook comments, all collectively say one thing: God is still working in me and He's using you. And I'd like to pass along a similar message to you. God is still working in through the Bible, and He's using you. Your prayers are being heard, your gifts are put to immediate good use, and your partnership is fruitful. So thanks for being available and willing and so loving to bring good news to people whose hope is in the Lord. So for all of us here at Through the Bible, stay the course. God continues the work He's doing in us and through us. Thanks so much. I'm Steve Schwetz. Looking forward to studying God's Word with you again tomorrow. May God bless you as you now go forward into your day with Him.
Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.